This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Dave, and we are here to talk about what is going on in the Oklahoma City Thunder locker room, especially through Coach's eyes. So Mark and I are going to be talking about that today, and especially this interview that Coach just got wrapped up doing about, I don't know, a day or two ago.
Yeah, and one of the best parts here, we get right into the good stuff. Coach begins talking about SGA, his commitment, his talent, and his maturity, what he brings to the table, and what he can do for this young team. Dave, what do you think about this part?
Man, I love it. I love what he says about Shea's way he's approaching the game, how he is going out there practicing and preparing for games. He calls it a sophisticated approach to the game. And that's what I love to hear, especially from a young coach, is something that is impactful to the coach in watching Shea practice and get ready for the season.
Yeah, man. Obviously, Coach Daigneault is in love with SGA. If you had a player at SGA's level and talent, you would too. But it's not just the talent. Sometimes being super talented can make you one of the hardest players to coach. But SGA, you can tell he's humble, and that makes him approachable, and that makes him coachable. And that's why Coach Daigneault really likes coaching him and this whole team. So enjoy this next clip, and we'll be right back.
Shut him down with the plantar fasciitis last year, just being as safe as possible. Just how is he physically? And then I guess considering what we saw in limited time last year, what's your expectation of just how he's going to evolve this season?
Sure. I mean, first of all, he's fully healthy. He's been in the gym the last few weeks. He looks great. Looks great physically. Looks great on the court. You know, he's moving great. So no concerns there. He's full go. And we're obviously, I mean, I'm really excited for him with the contract extension. That's a great thing, not only for his security, but it's a great testament to what he's done in a short period of time in his career. I'm excited for us. And the real reason is because, as I mentioned, from a professionalism standpoint, competitiveness, work ethic, those things are organizational, you know, building blocks and foundations. And he embodies them and is very naturally aligned with those things. And when your best players have the same qualities as the team you want to have, that's a powerful, powerful thing. But, you know, as hard as he competes, as hard as he works, and those are emotional things, competing and working, as hard as he puts his whole self into every single day, what makes him, I think, really unique is he's got a very sophisticated approach to competition, and he's able to really see around the corner, see the big picture. He understands the relationship between this game and today's work, and something that he's building or something that the team is building. And that's a pretty advanced mentality for any competitor. It's certainly advanced for somebody at his age, but it's a mentality that organizationally we hang our hat on. And again, when we have a player of his caliber that, you know, has that mentality, you know, you're talking about real forward momentum when you've got that kind of alignment, and we think we have that. And that's why, aside from his talent, obviously, we're so excited about Shea.
Yeah, man, this is exactly what we need to hear about Shea. There's a real small clip in between here. It talks about if all the players are healthy. I kind of feel like this was a Shea question of making sure Shea is healthy for the season. We didn't get a chance to hear the answer to it, but I want everybody to know that Coach D says, yes, everybody is healthy and playing well in practice right now. So that's a great thing to hear, and that's a great thing to go. You know, one thing is especially about that, since we're talking about Shea and just leading into that, is something that this next question is all about, is who's the leader on the team, or who has that ability to lead on the team. I love what Coach D says here. He says, if you're doing the right thing, you're one of the leaders. I love that, man. Like, I've never heard that approach before on the basketball court, but I love the fact that he is calling these guys out, saying that you can be a leader too. Just do the right fucking thing.
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned Shea and some of his qualities, and it sounds like he's got some leadership qualities. When you have a young team, obviously finding those people who are the leaders of your group can be challenging because they have to maybe grow into it a little bit. Do you feel like you have those guys here, and who are the people maybe that folks are gravitating to and towards of those leadership qualities?
Yeah, I mean, certainly Shea, but we have a saying, I think I've mentioned it to you guys before, we talked to our team about it, and that is the leader is the person doing the right thing. And so when you define leadership like that, it's entitled to no one. I'm the head coach, but if I'm not doing the right thing in the moment, I'm not leading. And it's also accessible to everybody. So, you know, Aaron Wiggins or, you know, Josh Giddey or Trey or Jeremiah are rookies, but if they're doing the right thing tomorrow, they're leading in that moment. And I think we have a lot of guys across the roster that do that. I think, you know, obviously Shea comes to mind. Lou Dort, you know, I mentioned having a young team and the physical challenges that that presents on some nights. And Lou is a guy that really helps us stick our chest out as a team with his physicality and his mentality. There's just a fearlessness and a will to him that I think is contagious. And when you're rolling up next to him, you have a little bit more confidence. That's another example. And I think, you know, if you name a guy, I can tell you how they have the opportunity to lead and how they have led. And I think we have leadership all across our roster because we have guys that are willing to do the right thing and really commit to the things that we think are going to help us be successful. And also, like I said, lay a really strong foundation for this build.
Yeah, those are some great clips right there. I love hearing Coach Degnall, and getting to know him through these interviews is really exceptional. He's going to have a lot of media availability, but he won't always be talking about the big picture. You know, there's certain themes that resonate throughout the season. And yesterday we played a clip where he talked about a blank slate. You can tell this blank canvas mindset is something that's, you know, top down in the organization. So we're going to hear a lot about that, and that's really exciting. But with all that blank canvas stuff said, SGA is clearly our leader out on the court, and we're pumped up about that. They've cleared the deck. They've made it, you know, so this is his team. Last year, they moved Chris Paul to give him the opportunity to play with the ball in his hands. This year, they've moved out some of the leaders, the veterans, so that he has a chance to be the emotional leader out on the court too.
One thing I want to highlight right here is when he talks about Shea as being his leader, but if you're, like I said in the last clip right there before we started it, if you're doing the right thing, you're one of the leaders. And then he follows it and ends the entire question with Dort is also a great leader. I love what he throws out this about Dort and the way that he creates that intensity during practice. Man, this is a great, great question, and I love the answer that he gave with it.
So the next clip here is about having a bunch of big playmakers. I love it. You know, we've been saying it since the beginning that we drafted Josh Giddey. We're not concerned about the idea of having too many ball handlers on the court. Yeah, if you remember Shea's first year, there was all this question, could we have Dennis Schroeder, Chris Paul, and Shea out on the court at the same time? And that was no problem. And this time it's going to be no problem. So I love the question. I love the answer. This is some good shit.
Yeah, man. And especially what Mark and I love about talking about the roster construction. When you have so many weapons that some people look at it as a negativity, I feel like that's a weapon in itself. So the reality is that we have a lot of ball handlers on this team. But when people say you have too many ball handlers, I laugh because this is not the old school NBA where you have to have a point guard, shooting guard, power forward, small forward, and a center. That is not the old school way. If you've been looking at the transition of what's happening with the NBA for the last couple of years, and you understand the path that Sam Presti is taking, having five ball handlers out on the floor at one time is the goal. That's the goal. If you can handle the ball and you can be out there on the floor and passing the ball around with your teammates and setting screens and getting to the hole and shooting the three-pointers, you're going to get time for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So that's why we're looking at this team and getting excited about the construction of it, how he has continued, or how Sam Presti has drafted these players that are ball handlers and playmakers, because we're going to see a lot of unbelievable plays this year. It's going to be really exciting.
For sure. Hey, Mark. So with the roster construction, it's pretty interesting with Giddey, Poku, Bazley, even, you know, SGA, bigger guys that can all handle the ball. As the head coach, like when you got all that together, how much are you looking forward to being able to put out a lineup that's going to be a matchup nightmare? And what might be some of the challenges with having that many, you know, jumbo ball handlers?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I think is pretty evident, especially when you watch the playoffs, and not just this year's playoffs, every year's playoffs, is the teams that are the most formidable in the NBA are the ones that offensively have multiple creators, multiple ball handlers, multiple sound decision makers, and those teams figure out a way to function together and to make the whole better than the sum of the parts. And I think that's the challenge for any team. you know, certainly as we build and we move forward, something, you know, I don't want to speak for Sam, but something that I think he's made very clear is that we want versatile players that can do a lot of things out there. And then it's the job of, you know, certainly me and our coaching staff and our players as well to make that fit together and to make sure that we're enhancing everybody's strengths. And so that's exactly what we plan on doing. But having multiple versatile players and ball handlers is not a weakness. You know, that's a strength, and that's something that, you know, we certainly have to work to figure out and make sure that we're optimizing everybody's talent. But we're really excited about what our players are capable of and how that can all fit together.
Yeah, I think there was a time not that long ago where the idea of having five shooters on the court at the same time seemed a little bit weird. You know, would you want to have five guys on the perimeter? Well, now everybody does that. But for some reason, the idea of having five ball handlers on the court, that seems weird. But pretty soon, that's going to be the minimum. I mean, people are going to be like, you've got to have everybody on your roster has to be able to put the ball on the floor, with the exception of if you have a specialist who can run, you know, rim to rim and defend. But outside of that, you've got to have, like, there's no reason for teams to have two shooters anymore. Now teams have a minimum of four and sometimes five. And that's going to be the same way with ball handlers going forward in the future. So Sam Presti, once again, is out on the front end, cutting edge of this and the front of the trend. So it's going to be great to see how this continues to develop. And the final question we have today from Coach Degnault is about goals, expectations, what he thinks this team is capable of, and most importantly, standards.
You said it's kind of a blank slate. With that being said, what's, I guess, fair to expect? I mean, it's hard to say when so many pieces are young, some new. What's fair to expect? How do you set goals when the slate is blank, as you say?
Yeah. So when you talk about expectations, I think the expectations in the organization are high as it relates to things that we can control. And when it comes to goals, we think of those things more in terms of standards. And so we have high expectations as it relates to our standards. We have high expectations in terms of professionalism, high expectations in terms of our players really attacking a holistic program of development, high expectations in terms of how we can compete and competing together, having a team that kind of embodies the lunch pail mentality of the state, and really leaning into that, especially at this phase of the team. And you can expect us to continue to grow through every experience. The NBA season is challenging, and there's a lot of ups and downs, but we're going to be a team that learns from our successes, learns from our adversities, and uses every experience for forward momentum. And I've said this before, I said it last year, and I think it's important to note, those would be our expectations regardless of where our team is, you know, in terms of a cycle. If you told us we're projected to win the championship this year, those would still be our expectations, and our goals would still be tied more to a way of operating and our standards than any like single outcome.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a great question because a lot of us fans are truly wondering, what is the true expectations of the season? For me and Mark, we have said it since day one, is contending in the playoffs is what we expect. And I think that's exactly what we're going to be looking at. It's something that we have to consider and have to seriously circle and say, this team has high expectations, because I really do think that the front office and the coaching staff has expectations to compete for the playoffs. I think that's their goal. I think it's one of those things that everybody in the system are excited about, because we all know that the Los Angeles Clippers are going to struggle this year. And if the Clippers aren't going to be any good and they're so far behind and don't have a chance to make the playoffs, I don't think Kawhi suits up. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is that there's a chance that we don't even need to tank to get a good draft pick this year. We just have to rely on dipshits like the Los Angeles Clippers to do horrible, and we'll be all right.
For sure, man. And that's our goal is to watch them do terrible while we pick up their pick. So we're looking forward to that, and we're hoping that we can make a run at it. Obviously, there's high expectations from this team within the organization as far as competition, improvement, and outside the organization, we get excited about the potential of seeing this team shock the world. So we'll see what they're capable of coming up really soon. The preseason is just around the corner, just a couple of days now, and we'll be there Monday on the 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be playing the Hornets. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be a late game, obviously, for a lot of people, but it's the first one of the season. So we're going to be pumped up about that. Can't wait to see this come down, man. Get a good look at this team, Coach Daigneault, his offense, and what they've been working on. So we're pumped up about that. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we're going to be back tomorrow, and join us then. And this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. We'll be right back.